Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, Academy Award nominated film producer David Valdez.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, John Torres. I am Mark Lejeure, and now your host, your MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am Filippo, and I am excited about today's show for many reasons. It's a first because this is, actually, we're coming close to the Academy Awards, and so today we have two artists that are associated with the Academy Awards. Our first guest, David Valdez, of course, being an Academy Award nominated film producer and director. And then our musical guest, John Torres, whose song was shortlisted for an Academy Award. So this is kind of exciting, first for Life Changes. And at the same time, I am sad. I shed some tears today. You can see I'm a bit nervous because I don't talk about these things really. But I thought it was appropriate today, one, because I really love this woman, and two, because I think it's related to our show. So a couple hours before the show, I found out that Fran DiCarlo passed. And who is Fran DiCarlo to me? You know, if we net it out, Fran was just a fan of mine. So I was singing in Connecticut one year, and I walked off stage, and this woman came up to me, big smile, big hug, and big heart, and shared some things about me that she said, "I love how you represented our culture. I love what you're about. You care. You really care. I can tell from the stage." And consequently, I felt something at that moment because she saw me. And so where at first I was trying to be the performer and, oh, I have to entertain and all that stuff, she helped bring me back to, I touched somebody. And because of her and because of many fans like her, I became more of that person on stage that was more interested in touching people than looking good. And so consequently, I was able to laugh at myself. And if things happened on stage, we were able to laugh about it. And I actually started enjoying myself more. And so when I would see her, she would remind me that I had to stay like I was. Always tell the stories you're telling them, she would say, from the place that you're telling them. Not exactly in those words, but in her words. And so, first off, I just want to say, I love you, Fran DiCarlo. And secondly, stories are very important because today we have David Valdez with us, of course, and John Torres, and both of them are storytellers in their own right, one in film and one in song, and myself through song and through actually storytelling on stage and, of course, through this show. I have maintained the telling of the stories that mean something to me, that mean something to us, that we feel will mean something to all of you. And many times we weren't ready to do this show or have that guest on, or I was nervous or I didn't know what I was doing, but we did it because we did it from that place that we wanted to. What was more important is sharing from where we are, from where we were. And this is where I am. I'm sad, but I'm happy at the same time because I'm sharing. And so I was reminded today as I was looking at the great work that our guest, David Valdez, has done, that his life so far has been dedicated in so many ways to telling stories and helping other people share their stories. And it's interesting, as I get to know, and as you'll get to know, David's story, he hasn't always shared the story he's wanted to share. However, there's no better time than the present to start. So with that, I'm looking forward to having this conversation with Mark and our guest, David Valdez, when we come back right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
You know, Mark, we're back, and I'm back. I feel better. I don't know why I do that to myself. I tell things that I'm not ready to tell and have a hard time doing it. But
you don't have much of a choice, given that's what our show really is about.
And life kind of changes.
And that's kind of how we started the show, right? This is your brainchild and our collective creation to give ourselves a place to share that type of heart, and that's what makes you special. And unique and authentic. So I appreciate it. And I know our listeners appreciate it. It's interesting because it reminded me of a conversation that David and I were having off the air before the show started, where if we kind of strip all this away, you know, we're all just, a bunch of humans that are trying to figure it out, that are learning our ways, that are living our lives. And, you know, we wake up in the morning doing the best we can with what we have to work with. And, so it leads to those types of moments, I think, are much more impactful than the overly produced moments, I think.
Mm. Well, and actually some of those moments can come with big production. Actually, we were talking before the show with David about The Green Mile, which he produced and actually was nominated for the Academy Awards, where there were so many huge moments in there that in order to be able to show that on screen were produced in such a big way, and yet they were the moments. So it's moments like those that movies are known for, and being able to bring out some of these stories the way artistically David has done is quite amazing. And I am in awe because it's not a skill that I have. He is an Academy Award nominated film producer known for working in the Western genre, actually. I mentioned The Green Mile, but yeah, actually, the Western genre, and collaborating a lot with Clint Eastwood. So you would know him from Oh God, Book Two, The Outsiders, and Tightrope. And as I said, Oh God, I just saw David's head go like, yeah, Oh God.
It's not really a Western, is it?
No, it's not. But anyways, welcome, David, to the show. And thanks for getting me to laugh.
Thank you for having me.
I think the Westerns referred to were Unforgiven and Open Range were a couple of Clint's movies, right? And
Open Range was with Kevin Costner. Clint and I first did Pale Rider, and right. Then we did Unforgiven, and then Kevin and I did Open Range, and I did The Assassination of Jesse James with neither one of them.
Oh, okay, well, while we're at it, The Deadpool, Bird, Pink Cadillac, White Hunter, Black Heart, okay, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to say that talking of Fran reminded me of how there have been people that have said to me, you know, don't ever do one of those mafia movies or one of those mafia shows or whatever that would bring our heritage down like some of those people have done. And I think to myself, if I had been offered one, You know what I mean? I mean, there's sometimes a lot of money to it. I don't know what I would have done. Would it help me get more famous? Would it have made me more money? You know, so I look at people like you who say, I want to tell a different story now based on what we talked about before. And yet, you know, that's not where the money was coming from at the time. So how do we...
How do I approach this? I think, you know, it's interesting. In my career, it's even though I think at times that I'm the one in control, that this is, I've read a magazine article, a book, a script, and I want to make a movie out of this. If the time is right, it seems to happen, or it will lead me to the movie that needs to be made. Mm-hmm. There are many movies that I've made. There was one made last year, which I spent 20 years trying to make, and I didn't make it last year. But in the process of trying to get it made, I made other movies that I didn't even anticipate making. Mm. I mean, there are certain movies, when you say a mafia movie because of your Italian lineage, right. You know, I'm not, because of my Latino background, I'm not sure I want to make, you know, a gang banger right. film. You know, I don't want to do anything to glorify that side of what everybody sees as, you know, a Latino thing.
Right.
On the other hand, you know, one of the things that I spent quite a bit of time trying to do was I felt the Latino culture had a treasure chest of stories that have never been told. Mm-hmm. And when so much of American cinema seems to be regurgitating 1980s television series and making, you know, the Brady Bunch movie or Charlie's Angels or, you know, making a movie out of a TV show, right. I would say, well, why can't we make a movie about Cortez, you know, annihilating 2 million Aztecs? I mean, that's quite a good story. That's like biblical. You know, why don't
it's
we
epic.
Do that? You know, but nobody seemed to be that interested in it. You know, the Ten Commandments, I mean, back in, you know, in the 50s and the 40s, they made the Ten Commandments a few times.
Yeah.
And Charlton I've always, you know, but in any case, I don't want to glorify that. I was offered, I remember there was a movie with a relatively large star, but he played a serial killer. And I was his partner at the time. And, you know, and it wasn't Clint, but... anyway, to make another movie about a serial killer did not interest me. And despite, you know, for years we kind of, I think, denied that movies really impacted people, that we affected, that we conditioned people, that people went to the movie and then we glorified a murder or glorified a beating or whatever it was. Mm. And then it was perpetuated later in real life. I believe that's true now. Mm. You know, for a long time we said, no, that's really not true. You know, you have to draw the line between fact and fiction. And so, you know, making another serial killer movie was something, you know, I just didn't want to do. And there was a movie recently, which I was offered, which had to do with, you know, child abuse. And it's just, again, we know it happens. It's something I don't really want to perpetuate. And I'm not trying to stand on a, you know, sound noble or haughty or anything like that. It's just something that doesn't interest me. But it's interesting now. I've opened myself up, and there are movies that I want to make. And now I understand that I look back at all those movies you just mentioned before, and a lot of them I never intended to make. Mm. I found them. It was a journey. Mm. You know, I might have been involved with another movie, and then Clint said, "Hey, read this script," and all of a sudden, you know, White Hunter, Black Heart, for instance, was a movie about the making of the African Queen. It didn't do very well at the box office. The few people that saw it seemed to enjoy it, but you know, it told the writer's story, the writer who wrote the African Queen, and watching his story being made by a big Hollywood production. It told John Huston's story about why he made the African Queen. It had nothing about making a movie. He wanted to kill a big elephant. That's what he wanted to do. You know, so those kind of stories became, and then I went to Africa, and, you know, it was a great journey. So I don't really know what's next, but I know, you know, I think I'm a little more open now.
Mm. Yeah, you say you don't want to come across as noble, but I really think that it is noble. I think the idea of give them what they want has been perpetuated so much and following the dollar and following the formula that there aren't many that have been willing to say, you know what, I don't want to make more of that. That just continues to keep that out in the culture. And then by also fills a void. So there isn't an open door for something, you know, different, potentially more redeeming or just, you know, outside of the box. So I think there, you know, hopefully there'll be more people like you that are willing to say, You know, maybe some of these stories don't need to be retold so many times.
I mean, I've been doing this a while now, and when I've tried to follow the formula, it's usually failed. Now, sometimes it if you have a large star like Clint Eastwood, let's say, and we're making a Dirty Harry that's got a branded known value to it, people are going to come back and see the Dirty Harry. Or they would in the 80s, let's say, when we were making those movies. But, you know, recently in the last 5 years, I made two movies that were really kind of targeted to fill the void left by Harry Potter and a couple of these movies that just do these incredible numbers that really cater to the teenage demographic or the early 20s demographic. And, you know, one did okay, one failed miserably. And I think a lot of it was because we were making a movie to make money. And not really making a movie to follow our heart or you know, the story was okay. I don't think it was anything that was going to change the world or it wasn't going to change anybody's lives or, you know, it wasn't going to, you know, people were not going to. You went into those movies making a movie knowing that you would never be nominated for an Oscar. And even though I'm not sure that's the only reason a movie should be made, I think you should go, you should get involved in a movie that you want to be seen and that you're proud of and that, you know, your grandkids will see one day and say, hey, my granddad made that.
I like that you feel that way. And actually, I talking to you, I get the feeling like this is the beginning of something. Like that back when Disney was making the cartoons that he wanted to make for the mass audience, supposedly nobody would pay attention and nobody thought it would be successful. And then, of course, he ended up being right. And now we have all these cartoons. And also with whatever, Charlie Chaplin, or I don't know my movie history very well, but way in the beginning of movies, people thought this is not something that people are going to be watching in mass or even TV, but somebody obviously thought they would, and now here we are. Well, the kind of movies we're talking about, it's that time, I feel like. Someday people will say, well, of course those movies do well because look, everybody watches them. But right now it's getting past that part. Actually, now that I've said that, I'd like to hear what you have to say on that when we come back right after this with our guest, David Valdez.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio. I'm sitting here with Mark LeJour and our guest, David Valdez. In just a little bit, we are going to have music by John Torres. You won't want to miss that. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you are glued to this conversation. It's very relevant with our award-nominated film producer, David Valdez. Thank you for having this with us.
My pleasure.
A good conversation. So do you feel that we might be on the cusp of something about to break in the industry that hasn't had very many huge breakthroughs in many years?
Oh, man, I don't have a crystal ball. I think as a producer, you find material that resonates with you. If you follow your heart, you make a movie that you want to... Listen, I just finished making a reboot of Point Break, but it was something that, that appealed to me. I mean, I spent a lot of years, in my teenage years, my 20s, surfing, and I thought they did a pretty good job the first time around, and I had a lot of fun on that, and it took about, I read the script 5 years ago, and, we finally just finished it about 6-8 weeks ago. So I can't speak for, the community as a whole, because I don't really feel that I'm that tapped into the Hollywood community. Even though I live here in Silver Lake, most movies today are made outside of Los Angeles, and this last one took me out of the country for a year. Mm. 10 months I was in Europe, and we shot in 11 different countries. But I do feel that, I think that everybody's always looked at the American film industry as, it's one of the few things the few commodities that we produce here in the States that seems to be wanted everywhere in the world. Mm. Everybody acknowledges the fact that we make pretty good movies, And even though it's really great to see foreign films and they're, everybody's making pretty great films around the world, I think the audience for movies, everybody was sort of decrying that movies were going to be history with streaming videos and television and 250 channel capability on television sets, that people would not really go to movies anymore. And I think the statistics coming out of China these days on how many theaters they're building and how they're kind of turning the whole business on its ear. And if you listen to the marketplace on what other people are looking at, the box office, I think numbers have actually come down in America, in North America this past year. And in China, they've jumped up, spiked up 30% or 35%. And so there seems to be a huge voracious appetite there. And so people are busy trying to put an Asian component in a movie so it appeals to it even more, over there. But again, if you forget all of that, and you just follow your heart and you make a movie that you want to see and that will, resonate with maybe not a huge universal audience that you're going to have $100 million opening weekend, but maybe you'll make, $20 million over the life of the film. But it means something to you and to a small segment that you feel you want to touch, that's important, like a faith-based film, let's say. Or, what was this film this past year? I read the book, but I never saw the movie about the young boy who went to heaven. It was interesting. It came out, I think, the weekend before a movie that I produced came out. And, it floored everybody. It had a huge opening weekend. It was a little movie made by Sony. Hmm. And yet there was an audience out there that knew about it because of the book and they wanted to see it. And a faith-based movie normally isn't appealing to a studio. What the studios are looking for these days are really, they're not even looking for home runs anymore. They're looking for grand slams. They're looking for tentpole movies, Transformers 19 or, Batman 8 or whatever it is.
And those all the are dolls the kind of, and plastic that goes with it.
Yeah, all the merchandising that goes with it. And, there are movies that are being made. I have to take my hat off this year to this movie, Still Alice, that deals with Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. And, that's a tough movie to make in the Hollywood community, and yet somebody greenlit it. There was I don't know any of the filmmakers or anybody associated with that film, but it was extremely well done. It's great to see that Julianne Moore is getting the recognition she's deserved for her entire career. But it's also, I think that somebody deserves an award just for making such a gutsy movie about such an unpopular topic that's an epidemic, you know? So, I mean, I find myself drawn to smaller movies that, you know, that you can download off the internet. Or I have, like recently, there was we just got back from Australia, and there was a movie called Charlie's Country, which people, I got totally intoxicated by the Aboriginal culture over there and how they live. I read a book called Mutant Message Down Under.
Yes.
Yes, you know.
Yes, very.
Okay.
Love it.
Something appealed to me. We were going to Australia. I didn't know anything about Australia. Somebody gave me this book years ago. I read it. I sort of wanted to immerse myself in Aboriginal culture down there. And then there's this movie. Everybody kept telling me I needed to see Charlie's Country. I can't seem to get it here, but I will get it. And as you know, that book is about a woman who, you know, a 50-year-old woman. She goes on a walkabout. The first few scenes would be her burning her clothes, and then she learns gets a whole new belief system.
And she's a New Yorker with a high-powered publishing job or something, and diamonds and all that stuff, and leaves it all buried. They bury it or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
And just new life for a year, walking around.
Yeah. So I mean that. You know, now I hadn't even really thought of it until right this second. I mean, that would make a really interesting movie.
Yes, actually. Yes.
When I read the book, I was just enamored with the concept of this belief system, this culture that is disappearing. You know, that was, I mean, basically what's happened in Australia is what happened here with our Native American Indians. Mm-hmm. And except it's much more recent. It's only, you know, 75 years ago as opposed to 125 years ago. So anyway, there's those kind of themes. Now, I think that movie wouldn't appeal to a large movie going. It's not going to have a $50 million opening weekend. You know, it may make $10 or $20 million over the life of the film, but that's interesting to me, you know.
Yeah. And I'm glad it's interesting to you, cuz I want to give you the phone number of a producer that I think can make it amazing, and his name is David Valdez.
Okay, I'll give it some thought.
I think that if we continue having these conversations, it's like there are so many people like you, believe it or not, that we have had conversations with. We were talking about Barnett Bain, that you know, for one moment thought maybe he was the only one. And then here you are. And there are so many, well, Barnett being also Academy nominated or award winning director and producer. There are and actors and actresses that would be interested in this kind of thing. This movie you're talking about, or any other number of movies like that. There might be actors that say, that's a message I want to put out. And they might be big actors.
I often wonder this, David, maybe, you know, in adding to what Filippo's saying, maybe you're coming more in contact with it, but there seem to be more and more people that are in their individual, some place in their individual journey or kind of have going through their own awakening, and yet don't necessarily want to rock the boat, don't necessarily, don't know who to talk to, don't, you know, feel like they can yet share that at work or talk to the, you know, the production crew or community or yet, and it kind of feels like, and I know they've done some things like what Jim Carrey and Eckhart Tolle and John Rotz have done with GATE, the Global Alliance for Transformational Entertainment, and there's some pockets of movement, but it would be nice if there was more a place that this could kind of be, you know, like a message board somewhere where people could know he's interested in that and they're interested in this. And boy, we could all be doing a lot more together. And maybe that's part of what we're talking about. But I wonder if you're feeling some of that as well.
I am. I mean, you know, actors want to act regardless of what, if it's a great Hollywood blockbuster or if it's a small independent movie, they want to act. But you know, when you get to know them, there are people. I do feel that there are a lot of people on a quest these days, on a spiritual quest, and some very, you know, again, I'm not going to name drop, but I've had some interesting conversations with some very well known celebrities, and yeah, you're right. I mean, they're not going to take their Hollywood quote to do this kind of movie because they may feel an obligation. A moral obligation, or just, you know, interested in doing a movie with this kind of a theme through it. But, you know, it all starts with the script. If it ain't on the page, you know, it's not on the screen. And it's finding that material that, you know, this, again, I didn't really come on here to talk about A Mute Message Down Under, but it did affect me and it just came up in the conversation. I mean, this is a book that somebody gave me 5 years. I mean, I'm given books and movies and DVDs and CDs all the time, but that book for some reason stayed on my bookshelf. And when I knew I was going to Australia, I picked it up and I read it and I said, wow, this is really something special. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you could do something with that movie, and you could get you could get a 50-year-old actor. You could get Julianne Moore to burn her clothes and go on a walkabout, and it would be a pretty damn great experience.
And now I can't say it because people are going to have to wait for the movie, but there are some amazing things that happen on that experience. I mean, talk about, you know, magic and all kinds of stuff that...
Well, they believe, I mean, their belief system is in a universe that provides everything, that abundance is everywhere, isn't it? I mean, they're nomadic, but they're not nomadic in the traditional sense where they bring their food and their tents and they wake up in the morning stark naked and hold hands and face the east and say a prayer and, you know, that day...
Things happen.
Things happen.
I forgot about that part. They wake up stark naked?
Yeah.
See, make a great movie. It's got all the
elements. Well, now it's crossing over into the larger audience mentality.
And R-rated.
Well, when we come back, actually, I've become interested in through this whole course of the conversation is I have this image of little David. Like, what was he dreaming about when he was a baby, a child saying, you know, I want to be in Hollywood or I want to make movies or I want to tell stories or what was he thinking about? For some reason, there's a story there. I just feel it when we come back with our guest, David Valdez. And if you want to know more about David, is there a website that you give or just send people to IMDb?
IMDb.
IMDb, David Valdez, David, V-A-L-D-E-S. And when we come back, John Torres is also going to be singing a couple songs of his own for us and telling his stories through music right here on Life Changes right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo. I'm here with Mark and our guest, David Valdez. We have been talking about what you've done as an adult, but somehow I have a feeling that maybe what you were thinking of as a child now is the time to come back and talk about that.
A child. I mean, you know, I live in, actually right now I live in my grandmother's house in Silver Lake.
Oh, wow.
And I was born just about a half a mile from there. So, I mean, everything kind of does come full circle, doesn't it?
Wow.
But no, I mean, I had an uncle that was an artist who worked for the studios. He was, you know, he worked for the MGM and, you know, he was worked in the art department, but I didn't have any family in the business. I loved stories. I read vociferously as a child, you know. I was raised really in Orange County. We moved from Los Angeles down to Orange County, Garden Grove, you know, when I was like 4 years old, and I was down there for most of my teenage years. But, I always loved the movies. My mother loved the movies. She took me to the movies. We came into Los Angeles to the Egyptian and the Grauman's Chinese Theater to watch big premieres. You know, those were the days when they had, you know, Ben-Hur would play only in Hollywood for 15 weeks. You couldn't watch it, you know, in a neighborhood theater near you. So, I mean, that was always a big deal. So it always was, you know, it was magic. It was like the circus, you know, the circus comes to town, pitches a tent, and you want to see those elephants and the beautiful girls.
So whatever the next movie has got to have elephants and beautiful girls.
I have an elephant story. I got two elephant stories, actually.
What do you mean? You mean that it could be movies?
Yeah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Let's talk about the white elephant in the room. I have a question, but I think you have a question, so go ahead.
Not a question. You were mentioning actually off the air before the show, you were mentioning a little bit of your upbringing that had brought you into a kind of a positive thinking mentality.
Ah, yes.
And you've seemed to have always found a way to weave that in, both into your profession, but into your storytelling in terms of how you're addressing it. And do you see yourself using a little more of this and drawing on it in a different way now?
It's only hit me recently, you know, because I've had people tell me that I'm really good at manifesting things, that if I want to get a movie made, I get it made. And I always thought that it was, you know, perseverance and, you know, the harder I worked, the luckier I got. And it was elbow grease and 18-hour days and all that crap. And I've only come to realize recently, I think there's a law of attraction working. And, you know, that whole thing is, it really goes back to my, I did go to church in Garden Grove Community Church, which was Reverend Schuller's church. And for those people who don't know him, he was sort of the drive-in pastor. He actually knocked at our door one day in Garden Grove and said, "Hey, I'm starting a church and I can't afford a church, but the drive-ins do nothing during the daytime." This was before swap meets using drive-ins. And I'm going to preach on Sunday. So we went to that. But his message was real simple. It was the power of positive thinking. It was the Norman Peale book, which was later written, The Power of Positive Thinking. So, you know, for years and years, I got every Sunday, all I kept hearing is anything you can conceive, you can achieve. And so I kind of went out into the world thinking, okay, if you know, it didn't really matter your gender or your nationality or your ethnicity or any of that crap. I mean, I believed in the American dream. I still believe in the American dream, but it was drummed in me by, you know, Reverend Schuller every Sunday. And so, like I say, I think now I look at it and, you know, reading maybe some of the Abraham readings or, you know, some of the other, you know, sort of self-help books out there. And you realize, you know, if you start thinking about those things and you don't have to really work that hard, all you have to do is, you know, it's the intention out there. If this is the movie you want to make and it's going to make a difference, you know, you can conjure it up. You can manifest it in ways that are a little easier. So
setting and maintaining that intention, right? So in today's world, everybody's so busy, what, from show to show, from soap opera to movie to television show to whatever, and then off to their busy job. And it's, I think they've gotten more distant from being able to set and continue focus on that intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, I look back at those years and I think, and I've even dusted off those books recently and I haven't read them yet, but The Power of Positive Thinking, and, you know, Schuller had written at least 4, 5, 6 books, something like that. But it was just, and, you know, he would bring in speakers that would just tell these great stories. And, you know, again, your question, Filippo, about, you know, my interest in stories. I just, not only did I always like to read books and go to movies, but I, a place like church, it wasn't just always preaching to us. There would be these guest speakers that would come in and tell us their stories, you know. And actually, that saying, anything a man's mind can conceive, he can achieve, was by a guy named Billy Sands, who was the warden at San Quentin Penitentiary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, years ago. I remember, who would bring in a warden of a penitentiary to speak at a church on a Sunday? Well, Robert Schuller did. And, you know, he obviously impacted me because I still remember it.
Wow. Yeah. You remind me of the warden of the Green Mile. It's like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. You stopped me from saying it earlier, but I'm going to say it now. You know, I know a couple of people that know you, and so when your name has come up, they said, oh, David Valdez, he's such a nice guy. And I know that you had at first like a visceral reaction to that, but now you're okay with it.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay. I like it. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
It was something that I saw right away in our getting to know each other. And to me, you know, we talk about the industry a lot. And of course, there's so many fantastic people working here, but not all of them are necessarily, you know, immediately fall into that category of nice guy. And it's one thing I've always been impressed at how you've been able to work with the level of people that you work with, the egos that you work with, and be able to maintain that posture and get it done.
But there are nice guys in the business, you know. I appreciate the compliments you're bestowing upon me, but I also know a lot of other nice guys. I also said before we went on the air that you know, I remember James Garner. Mm-hmm. I never worked mm-hmm. with James Garner, but I saw him every day at Universal Studios, mm-hmm. and every day he said hi to me, you know. He was just a nice guy. He didn't have to do that. He had a lot of lines for the Rockford Files he had to memorize and go out there and say, and he was working probably a lot harder than I was. And so there are people out there. And, you know, ultimately the job of a producer is not only, you know, finding material, you're assembling crew, you're assembling cast, you're trying to put together a team that's going to do the best possible job to bring this script to light. And so it's how do you motivate people? You know, I've done movies where one of the best Bibles that I had was Pat Riley's coaching for the LA Lakers. You know, you read those books. Those are very inspirational. How do you inspire the LA Lakers to win after win, or, you know, wherever he is now? I mean, he was a hero of mine for many years, and those books can also motivate. If you read those at night, I would, you know, if the actress won't come out of her trailer and the lead actor's in his sauna and, you know, the other actor's complaining about, you know, that his jacuzzi's too hot or whatever.
The Laker girls.
You know, it's good to read a Pat Riley book and see how to deal with that.
Well, I think the reality is, you know, the news, the entertainment shows are always very quick to capture a story when somebody, you know, lost their cool or talked off camera on a live mic and talked down to somebody because that, you know, sells, you know, viewership. And there aren't enough of these opportunities to say, you know, hey, you know, David treated his, you know, crew, you know, especially well and got stuff done under extraordinary circumstances. So maybe this is the opportunity.
You know what? There's a great prayer that somebody taught me, and I say it every night. It's, let me treat others today as I will be treated tomorrow.
There you go.
I'm not preaching. I'm just saying I say it every day. And, you know, it's the golden rule, right? Mm-hmm. If you treat others how you want to be treated.
Looked at you because it was like,
well, no, there was silence. Yeah.
you made an impact.
Okay.
That's, you know, it deserved a moment of silence because, you know what? Yeah, turn on the news. Not everybody thinks that way. And that's what this show is about. And so when we hear those moments, it kind of makes it for us to say, you know what?
Like,
that's why we're here, to do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, let's do a little bit more of this. Actually, this is good. Now I can see why you kept saying you got to meet David. It's a nice guy, but if they're got to meet him. So I'm glad we finally connected, and I'm glad this has happened. And now I can't wait to see what comes out of that brilliant mind of yours for onto the big screen. So you've inspired me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It has been a pleasure. Is there anything that we haven't covered in the 1 minute that we have remaining? I think the prayer says it all, and the fact that he says it every day. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to patronize you when I say it. I'd love for you to say it one more time.
God, let me treat others today as I will be treated tomorrow.
David Valdez. We'll be right back with John Torres right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I am Filippo, and our guest, musical guest, is also an Academy Award shortlisted songwriter, an Independent Music Award nominated singer-songwriter, and he has, four or five albums out now, and four, right?
Yeah.
And he's been included in MTV and Alias and Felicity's DVD box set. His music is, and I mean, his credits go on, and so does his beautiful singing and music that I have had the privilege of knowing now for many years. And I had just forgotten just how long, because we met through, you're not Italian, but we met through the Italian community, ironically.
Well, I actually am. My mom is Calabrese. My mom came over when she was 20. One half of my family is like totally Italian, and then my father's half is Mexican, so grew up, you know, lots of kids, and we all talk with our hands, so it's just out of control on both sides. Spicy, and you know,
it sounds like it's good out of control.
Absolutely, yeah.
So while David was talking, you were nodding your head like just couldn't stop. So yeah. There was a message resonating.
Oh, absolutely. It was just great to hear, you know, you saying just talking about getting to the place in your life where you're trying to do what your heart's telling you as a creative person. You know, kind of regardless of hitting the target right square in the knock it out of the park way. And I think as an artist, for me, I don't know any other way to do it. Like I think like everybody, I've sort of, as a young artist, you're frantically chasing after success, I think, in a lot of ways. And the older I get, the more I'm just like, I don't even know how to do that anymore. Like I just want to kind of be honest. And if that happens to be commercially, you know, viable, that's great. But otherwise, somehow I still have a roof over my head and my kid is fed. Earlier I said kids in a weird way that made it sound like I have kids, but I only have one. My kid is fed. but you know what I mean? Like somehow I'm always provided for, and I think that's a sign that we need to just kind of keep doing what we really feel led to do, as opposed to.
I have to say that that message you just shared has been echoed by so many of our guests. Mm. and from very young ones to older ones, that whether it's not the age, but it's the age, this age, this time. With that, your first song is related to this.
It is. This song's called "I Want to Be Someone." It's from an album I put out at the end of 2013. So I kind of think of it as last year, but it's called that because it's about my journeys as a young artist trying to, you know, make it, if you will, and that feeling that you only become someone once you have made it. And we talk, you know, we use that term to describe celebrities and powerful people. And just, it was just kind of dawning on me that that isn't what makes you someone, that you start as someone. Mm. And, so this is that song, "I Want to Be Someone." All of the plans I made while the world was just passing by, with those dreams flashing in my eyes, I couldn't see a thing, no. But into the night I ran, just a couple of dreams away, knowing quite well what the world would say. I should be more practical, I say. I wanna be someone, you say. You're already someone one day. I hope I feel the same way. I put my trust in you, no. I wanna be someone, you say. You're already someone one day. I hope I see it your way, and see me as you do. Well, I counted my blessings and, well, I ran out of fingers, man. But I can't seem to understand why I'm still hungry for more. And this boulder still weighs me down. The pursuit of melodic sounds, the foregoing of solid ground, the kind I can build upon. I say, I wanna be someone, you say. You're already someone one day. I hope I feel the same way. I put my trust in you, no. I wanna be someone, you say. You're already someone one day. I hope I see it your way, and see me as you do. Who would imagine that you could feel this way? 'Cause you see a hero when all I see is gray. And maybe you're crazy, I don't care either way. I'm clinging to the hope in what you say. When I say I wanna be someone, you say you're already someone one day. I hope I feel the same way. I put my trust in you, no. I wanna be someone, you say you're already someone one day. I hope I see it your way. See me as you do. Oh, 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 dum, 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 dum. I hope I see me as you do.
John Torres, you want to hear this song and so many more, go to www.johntorres.com. That's John, T-O-R-R-E-S.com. That's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. What are we going to hear from you now?
Well, this is a little bit different. This is a song called American Dreams. You were just talking about it, believing in the American dream. And I think for me, I do too. I definitely believe in the American dream. I think it's still the best country. You know, there's so much opportunity here, and America is what we make it. But that being said, this song is about how it was kind of a discovery for me to realize that I, and maybe we, needed a new American dream, because I think sometimes it becomes about, again, materialism and how powerful I can be, how much I can decorate my life so that other people admire me, instead of how much I can become the person that would make the world a better place or become someone worth knowing. You know what I mean? So this is that song. Normally I play with a harmonica, but I'm just going to hum the harmonica parts today.
And what is it called again?
American Dreams. It's off of an album I put out in, I think, 2009. So it's a bit older, but I've been playing it for years.
Cars, two kids, not too many mistakes, not too much information, just whatever it's gonna take. And mister, I would like some more, please. There's something left to say. Ain't hardly past the circuit what they gonna pay me, but I just need bare minimum. Well, that's a maximum lie. Want $100 billion and a castle in the sky. And maybe along with that castle, might want to throw in a plane, so I can fly above the clouds or go somewhere sunny when it rains. I know that there is something wrong inside my head, or so it seems. Maybe it's time I reconsider my American dreams. Ooh. Oh, 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 oh. Ooh, yeah, 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 yeah. I want a brand new pinky ring for every day of the year. I want gold-plated happiness, but I want it sincere. And maybe something crazy like a $1 billion boat. And that's just for the decorations, another billion to make it float. A little power and some fame to sprinkle on the top, and a crack team of surgeons for when the other shoe drops. Cause we want more than we can spend and more than we can take. We want constant adoration and some hearts that we can break. I said, I know that there is something wrong inside our heads, or so it seems. Maybe it's time we reconsider our American dreams. Ooh. Oh, 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 oh. What's the use? Will you win and lose? And it all just feels the same. The more I take, the more I feel I'm subject to this game. I want a world without oppression. I want a country without lies. Eliminate depression and dry all them teary eyes. And do right when no one's looking. Tell the truth in every way. And not alter my decisions based on what your friends might say. Want to be thoughtful of other people like a person ought to be. Not drown in self-indulgence thinking me, 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 me. Don't want to talk about changes. Don't want to read them on a page. Want to turn them into actions, not just sing them from the stage. I said, I know that there is something wrong inside my head, or so it seems. Maybe it's time I reconsider my oh, oh, oh. I know that there is something wrong inside our heads, or so we see. Maybe it's time we reconsider our American dreams. Ooh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, American dreams. Ooh. Oh, 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 oh.
Wow.
Thank
Man,
you.
You're awesome.
Yes.
I don't know what took us so long to reconnect, but we're connected now. And if you want to be connected with John, go to johntorres.com, T-O-R-E-S. And actually, do you connect with your fans on Facebook?
I do, absolutely. I think it's just either John Torres or John Torres Music, one of those two. I can't remember which. I think I have John Torres.
Yeah, actually, you'll find him. Right now, he's got the picture of the side of his face.
Yeah.
Cool.
There you go.
There it is. That's the one.
It's the only one. That has a picture of the side of
the
your
only
face.
One Definitely. On Facebook.
I came up with that on my own. I was like, get a shot of the side of my face.
Did you get a new haircut or something? I don't
I
know.
I think
what
I
it
did.
Is,
probably.
It's a good haircut. These are great songs. And go to johntorres.com. And what a great guy!
Thank you
so much for being with us.
Thanks
I wish we had time for more. There are a couple of songs that I was hoping you would sing, and instead you sang. Now two of my favorites, so thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, what more can we say except thank you to everybody that has made this show possible. A big shout out to Brent Hahn here at Studio Noho and to Doug at BBS Radio. We love you both and we love you all. And once again, I love you, Fran DiCarlo. With that, I am Filippo Voltaggio reminding you as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.